All right. Awesome. So tonight, ladies, we're diving into some super fun territory, and I'm really grateful. I'm always grateful for whoever is in attendance, and I'm especially feeling grateful right now because I have like kind of three levels that I was like, we could dive in here, we could dive in here, we could dive in here. And I feel like we could dive in into any of them with this particular arrangement. So I'm feeling excited about that. We'll see what comes of this. So tonight is a, I guess like an inspired deeper dive into the themes around awareness and presence and reality and identity and what it is to be alive and experiencing as a human being, right? So lots bunch of light topics, nothing too deep.
Right up my alley.
You all know my obsession and my fascination is with human consciousness and experience and like what is this that we are and what we're doing and and how is it modulated and how does that all feed into thrive mode? And so, that's obviously my jam constantly. And lately I've been having a lot of fun in the theme around direct experience specifically, which we'll be getting into tonight, like the terminology of direct experience. Kind of seems like straightforward, but there's a bit of nuance in there that can be really fun as well. So I've been having a great time, and it's probably because I'm still, just like immersed in like the new decks I've been creating for LFP and some of the videos I've been recording and classes I've been taking. So it's fresh on top of mind for me. The levels and the ways in which we can experience reality and ourselves in reality. So we're gonna, life unfiltered, right? Who doesn't want that, it would seem. So tonight we're gonna dive into experience, direct experience. What is that? What does it mean? And my intention is to get experiential as possible with this. So we'll do some Q&A. I want to be more experiential than I am like talky, that's for sure. Not because I don't have a lot to say about this stuff, but because I think there's a lot of value to experiencing it firsthand. It's one of those things. So I'm really excited, and this might be like the first of a series. We'll see where we go with it tonight, but there's just so much fun stuff to play with in here. And this is also informed, just so you ladies know, I'll probably at some point be referencing the thought leaders, the wisdom teachers that I've been having so much fun, I don't know, for 20 years, but especially this past year, like really diving into and learning from. So this isn't just Fawn's like esoteric land of exploration.
Which would be mine, but yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This is so I think I've mentioned to a couple of you, I can never really remember what I say to whom when it comes to like I learned this, but I have for the past year been learning pretty in depth with Bernardo Kastrup, who is a philosopher, mathematician. He worked for CERN for a long time, the Hadron Collider in Switzerland. He's a genius. He's like a triple genius. He's a double PhD. And just unfathomably brilliant. He's one of those like Einsteins of our time. And he's just so kind and so wonderful. And he's really shaken up the scientific community in the philosophical realms, kind of the classical physics realms, just in myriad ways, because he's one of those who, Deborah, yeah?
What's his name again?
Bernardo Kastrup.
Okay.
Kastrup. Yeah, and I'm happy to share my playlist with you. He's long story short, he's shaken up the he's kind of pissed off the community in a way, because he and a couple of other incredibly brilliant scientists, mathematicians, and physicists are proving that materialism is baloney, that our universe is not made out of bits. It's not made out of these like non-conscious bits that then somehow give rise to consciousness and somehow give rise to sentience. So this is very disruptive because for the past 140-ish years in science, there's been this like emphasis on reductionism that all we are a combination of bits, and that is all that's happening in the world, on this planet, in this universe. And so I've had a lot of fun learning from him. So some of this will be informed probably by some of his stuff, and I'll try to like call it out or point it out when if I do reference it. There's another brilliant mathematician that I definitely want to give credit to. He's a cognitive scientist mathematician. His name is Donald Hoffman, and he's like, whoa, he's also incredibly brilliant, and in a similar vein to Bernardo, discovering, but he's through math, like through the math equation realm, he and his teams and his labs are showing that consciousness is fundamental. Consciousness is essential. There is no materialism. Like materialism, linearity is all baloney. David Bohm, of course, a lot of you know that, you know, the late great David Bohm, who unfortunately was so ridiculed and ostracized for his explorations and discoveries, and come to find out that he was actually spot on in so many ways, in terms of, and he was a physicist as well as I would say a humanitarian and a philosopher and a polymath ultimately. And then of course Ian McGilchrist, my guy. And there's more, you know, several more, but in terms of where I'm coming from with this, I think I'm sharing this because this is really fascinating. Like, these humans are up to really incredible things. And also because where we might go with some of this can start to feel a little out there, a little unhinged, or a little like, I don't know, fun. You know, like, and so I want to give, you know, kind of create a foundation of credibility, and I'm happy to loop in as anybody anytime, you know, to like walk through some of the deeper stuff, but, or more specific, you know, references or whatever. But I really want to emphasize that the come from here is one that is very, very, very well supported. It's not mainstream yet, but most good things aren't until they prove themselves to be the thing, right? So where we're headed here isn't off in the land of the super, well, hypothetical or super woo or super, you know, I like to play in both realms, but if at all possible, I like to stay, you know, especially if I'm teaching anything or like bringing people into stuff, I like to have some substance there that's, you know, behind it. So, all right. With that being said, there's some context to everything. Let's do an intro round, and we'll keep it. I mean, it's a small group, so we'll keep it pretty quick because we're going to get into some experiential stuff. So we'll do. I'm going to switch it up a little bit. We'll do name, location, something noteworthy from your day. And then what, if anything, interests you about this topic, or any questions that you have at the front of this topic? Yeah, I'll keep it at that. I'll tag you in, Ash.
Okay. Hello, okay. Ashley, in Los Angeles. Something noteworthy from my day. I feel like I had some cool things happen, but I don't remember now how it goes, right?
That's how present you are right now.
That's how so present I am. I'm just like, wow. I don't know. I just had a really chill day. It was a good day. Awesome. And something noteworthy from it. I feel like I created and did the things and not the things that I wanted to do today. Like, I got through some cool stuff, and then I also cuddled and played with my cats. And then Mike and I went and got lattes before this, and so it was just a very in-flow day. Like, did some work, took some breaks, and now I'm here.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, I think that's noteworthy.
Beautiful. Yeah. Sounds lovely.
I thought I was muted. Sorry.
No, you're fine. And I don't think I have any questions around the topic. I'm just excited to go deeper into it. So
cool. Anything in particular that interests you, or like, has your eyebrows raised or your ears perked up?
Well, I didn't read what today's call is about in the first place. So direct experience. I love the experiential stuff. I think, are you frozen or am I frozen?
Oh, I'm frozen. Yeah.
Got it.
Extra.
Fun. You're frozen.
Am I frozen? Okay.
Frozen. Yeah.
Well, we can hear you fine.
But now we can
okay.
hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Ash. The last thing I heard was the question I asked you.
Yeah. No worries. What I said was, I didn't really read what we were talking about today. I was just like, I'm going to join.
Awesome.
But when you were talking earlier, I mean, with presence, you know, that's my thing. I love how I've become more present in my life over the last couple of years through working with you and all of the things. But the direct experience and the experiential stuff, just interested in that and to see what you specifically mean through that. I can guess, but I don't, it could be something completely related or different. I mean, and I'm excited about the experiential stuff because the more and more things that I experience in this way, the deeper it lands for me. So that makes
beautiful.
Sense.
Yay. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. Awesome. Hi, Mia. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi. I just noticed you were in the, it didn't pop up to tell me you were in the waiting room. I just noticed there was five participants and I was like, there's four of us unless there's a ghost in the house. And then I saw you in the waiting room.
Yeah. And I was texting. I'm like, what, do I have the right link?
Oh my God, you were. Oh, I'm sorry. Welcome.
Oh, no worries.
We're just doing intro rounds. And then you just get to get thrown into the what we're doing tonight. I'm not going to reiterate. We're just going to have some fun. That's all.
Yeah.
Let's see. Ashley started intro rounds. I'll hop over to Deborah.
I could feel you were going to call me next. And actually, I was going to request to go after Ashley because I feel like I could just say ditto. You know, my day was pretty smooth. I feel like my week was, I'm Deborah. I'm in Dublin, California. And, I know one day that will not be the case. So this week has been really intense for me. And, I feel like overall I'm pretty good at creating margin in my life these days, but this week somehow like was off. And so I found myself having to like cancel things to make space. And so anyway, I just feel like this week is not typical. So today was another one of those days where it should have been normal, but it wasn't. But I'm veteran enough to know how to manage it, which is good. So it still turned out fine. But school is really intense right now. So last semester. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit overwhelming. I'm happy, but it's a bit overwhelming. It's like all good stuff, but it's overwhelming. And so, yeah, but I'm getting things done and I try to do one major thing each day. And today I was able to meet that goal. So yeah, overall it's okay.
Yes.
And the topic is just going to be a wait and see.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Amy, hello and welcome.
Hi, everyone. I'm Amy. I'm in Rhinebeck, New York, which is about 90 miles up the Hudson River from Manhattan, where I began my day. Yeah, it's so amazing when you say that. It's like, oh, nothing happened today. And I'm like, oh, my God. So many things happened internally. They weren't so external, but they had great stimuli. And they were one, a really great session with my Jungian analyst, where all these things came together, because that Jungian take on things is just what Fran's talking about. I woke up too early with excitement in my head. And that we're all of a, it's all a whole. We just can't see it all the time through our little self. So that started out the day with bringing in a whole lot of synchronicities and things. And then I drove up here and I made it in time for Michael Neal's Impossible, Creating the Impossible Project dial-in thing, which I never had done that. And there was this great guy on there.
Oh, Rob was on today.
Rob was just
blowing my shit.
Rob was like fabulous. Rob was like, yes. I was like, I rushed home. I finally figured out how to get it up there. It was just like I was just, yes, yes. So that was fantastic. And then I have embarked completely intuitionally on a course of study of the tarot through a Jungian lens, because that's how I like to see things, as particles and waves and synchronicities, and kind of our topic really is. And so I did this, it's really complex because I'm new at this, reading for myself. It's more like a, you know, tarot's not fortune telling. It's more way of exploring your psyche and what's going on unconsciously and things. That's not all that it is, but it was amazing. It was amazing. I was like, because I mean, I've sort of not dabbled. I know what they are. I've had readings. But then when I'm going into this work, Fawn, like where I met you and the consciousness, and that's my thing, human consciousness. I've been studying it since I was an actress, that was all different consciousnesses to me, like where all these levels of consciousness are happening. And they come together in the actor, and then they're having this experience, and the audience is having this experience. There's all these experiences being had that create this whole thing. Anyway, gosh, I'm talking a lot. But yeah, so that was revelatory, and I thought, here's what I'm onto. When I start to feel sparkles in my body, this is my new thing. Like if something's sparkles me, then I know go towards that. And that's just something that's happened in the, you know, since working with Fawn and, you know, getting divorced, which was great, without someone else's energy kind of, you know, stealing your attention or energy, whatever, I'd say energy. But so yeah, when I start feeling the sparkles for any reason whatsoever, and it's just, it's a physical sensation. So we're going to talk about body mind connection here in this topic, I'm sure. But so something happens physically that I feel that I, thank you, Ashley, present enough to allow myself to feel and recognize, because I'm not in the future somewhere. I'm not in the past. I'm like, oh, there's those sparkles. So follow that thread. And that's my new thing. And it may, you know, fall it off a cliff. I don't know. But I mean, that was part of the tarot reading. It was like, look, if you go into the light, you know, it's why they say in the movie, don't go to the light. I mean, you can't go totally to the light while you're embodied. You have to stay grounded. So that was so much the reading, like you could go in the light, but you got to ground it in the real world. Or what are we doing here? I think that's what we're doing here as humans, or we would just be spirits flying around laughing, you know, having spiritual cocktails and whatever. But we're here to be
spiritual cocktails of stars.
Stars and like rainbows and polka dots and moonbeams. But we're here. And so there's a reason we're here. and we're going to experience what we're going to experience in these bodies and this weird, bizarre mystery that's our existence. Totally bizarre to me most of the time, but fun most of the time. Even when it's hard now, I mean, I think about Deborah and her course of study and trying to, oh my God, you are just heroic to do that. To like, oh man, that's really cool.
You mean at this age, right? No.
No, I mean anytime.
I'm only kidding.
Babe, I mean anytime. I know, because I embarked on that too and a couple of years ago. I was like, oh my God. So kudos. But that's what, oh, so this topic, obviously I'm interested in it. So I just sort of wove all that in. Thank you.
Thank you. I love it. I love it. Love it. I love when the passion is just like unbridled. It's so fun. Mia was like that on the last call, on the New Year's Eve call. Like Mia, we were, well, I think all of us eventually were all lit up like firecrackers. We had so much fun. But Mia was like, oh my God, the synchronicities are everywhere. Hi, Mia. So we're doing intro, name, location, something noteworthy from your day, and then what interests you about the topic of direct experience, or any questions that you have.
So I already forgot the first part, but yes, hi, I'm Mia. The year, I feel like I'm already just trying to keep up with 2023, you know, like I'm kind of running behind already. I'm like, how is it possible? It's only January. I'm like, I just try to, all my to-do list from last year is still hanging over my head. And I'm just like, oh, I'm not getting any of it done. So yeah, I'm feeling a little bit, I know the last call I was like, arr! And this call I'm kind of like, oh, but I know I'll get through it. And I mean, I'm excited about this year. It's just right now, I feel like I've got a lot of checking to do off that list, you know, before I can step into the magic of 2023. That's where I'm, yeah, it feels like I'm just kind of buried right now in practical stuff. Yeah. But I know a space will open up, and I love what Amy was saying about the sparkle, you know, following that sparkle. I mean, that's what I intend to do this year, because I want it to be easy, you know. Yeah, I want this year to unfold easily without effort. Effortless magic.
Can it be effortless, please?
Yeah. I know, it's like, come on.
Whoever's up there, please.
Yeah, throw me a bone.
As you mentioned that, I couldn't help but think of the Chinese New Year, the year of the rabbit. And then I thought of Alice in Wonderland and the rabbit who's like, I'm late. He's like, you know, he's just like running around like hectic. So kind of frenetic and frantic, already feeling behind. And that just came through when you were describing
exactly.
That.
Yeah, the white rabbit. I know. I'm like, please slow down. I'm like, I'm praying for gentle energy from the rabbit, you know.
Well, maybe, hopefully, tonight's conversation will facilitate that for you. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of tonight's topic, what interests you about this topic, direct experience, Mia? Or question?
I didn't even, I actually didn't read about the topic. So
I love it.
But I'm like, it's the first of the year, you know, it's like a New Year's call. I have to be there.
Yay. I love that Ashley said the same thing. She's like, I didn't even read the description. I love that. Like, that's another level of, for me, that's, I hope it doesn't sound weird, but that's a really like, yay feeling for me about this community and this sister. That's how I'm with Michael Neal. I'm like, I don't know what this is about. I'm just paying you $5,000 and flying to London, but I don't know what we're doing, but let's do it anyway. Let's go. Like, literally had no clue what the weekend was about. I was just like, I'm there. So it's, you know, there's something to be said about the whatever we're doing, it's probably going to be great kind of thing. Right. So thank you. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Amy had a little message in chat. Okay. She's getting a call from her daughter. Okay. So thank you, ladies. All right, let's do a quick popcorn round just to kind of get on the same page and have an understanding of each other, at least cursory understanding as best we can. So what the phrase direct experience, what comes to mind? This doesn't have to be like the thing or accurate or anything. I'm curious about what comes to mind for you when I say direct experience, or I guess the title of the call was Life Unfiltered, the freedom of direct experience. I think that was it. So yeah, curious to know, if anything, what comes up for you when you hear that phrase.
I guess when you're talking about the unfilteredness, then I think of then the direct experience with God, you know, it's the way we connect with the divine. So without any of the filters that we put on, like fear and doubt, and, you know, all of this, like, oh, I don't see it. I can't touch it. So it can't be real, kind of, you know, the very human lens. So then the direct experience would be, yeah, feeling God.
All right, class dismissed. Thank you, Mia.
And I guess then being with one with ourselves, because we are God. So that's it.
Class extra dismissed.
The direct experience equals being God. I don't know.
Thank you. And yes, that's where we're headed.
All right, cool.
Thank you. Yeah, that's beautiful. All right, who else? Anybody else? Anything come up?
I'll go.
Awesome.
Sorry, I'm also trying to entertain a cat because he keeps meowing at me. So that's why I'm like looking down and all around, because he's like all of the things. I'm still listening. But for direct experience, to me, what comes up for me is just more around like being very connected and present, but also very embodied and connected to, like, similar to what Mia was saying, connected to self and then connected to everything and all, like everyone and everything all around us and the divine and all of that, but just also just being so present that you are living your life unfiltered, right? Like without the mask we put on, without the pain care, and just, I'm going to say whatever comes to mind or be or do or whatever. So that's what comes to mind for me.
Wow. Thank you. That was gorgeous. One of those calls where I'm like, I'm going to get this transcribed. There's already nuggets in here. Thank you, Ash. Deborah, any thoughts?
Barely. My only thought, just the term itself, direct experience, I think opposite, which would be indirect. Mm-hmm. And when I think about an indirect experience, to me, it reminds me of like not experiencing something for myself, but through somebody else, which kind of relates to what Mia was saying about the lens. So for me, it's like, am I having this experience myself, or are my thoughts and knowings and all of that being impacted by what's around me? Yeah. So maybe like influence, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those things that might influence how I might experience something versus just my own, without all the outside noise, basically.
Awesome. Thank you.
Something like that. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. It's helpful, right, to sometimes the inverse clicks a bit more with us, like the indirect experience clicks a bit more. Thank you for that. The follow-on question, we'll go around again, is when I say indirect experience, what comes up for you? And it can be in contrast to what you shared before, or it can be totally separate. It doesn't necessarily have to be related, everybody. But yeah, in like what is indirect experience or filtered or the filtered life? What does that conjure up for you?
For me, it would be like, you know, reading a book, right? Reading about others' experiences or watching a movie, which, I mean, they're all good, right? Reading books are great, but sometimes if it's too much, like you don't even live your life anymore. You know, you're just living vicariously through characters, through stories. And I think a lot of people are like that these days, you know, where there's no human interaction. And I feel like actually I'm like that. Like, I feel like I'm not fully experiencing life, you know, at least the last 3 years. So, yeah, so that's the indirect experience, just living vicariously. Yeah.
Can you say a little bit more about you felt like that for the past 3 years?
Yeah, because I've been, you know, pretty much living in isolation since the pandemic. I mean, I've been with my parents and, you know, they're older. So I just feel like I can't really, I mean, I don't know anyone here. But yeah, and I just don't even want to make the effort because I, you know, I feel like I have to protect them. So I'm just in a space where I know I need to get out again. You know, I need to leave, which is what I'm doing this year. So I'm excited about it. But yeah, just for the, and yeah, I mean, I guess I was fully living in that. I was connecting with the divine, you know, in nature. So I guess it's not really true. But in terms of just people, you know, like being like one-on-one in person kind of experience, like I feel like I've had very little the last few. So then in my human experience, I feel like I've been living indirectly, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that. That's helpful. All
right. You ready, Ashley?
Sure, I will go. To be honest, nothing really came to mind with indirect experience, though I do like how Mia explained it and agree with that if I were to put some words around that. But when you said filtered, I got like such a visceral reaction in my body. It's like, like, no, I don't even want to like go there. There's a tightness, like, and it's still kind of there, a tightness in my like chest. Which is so interesting. I'm so like anti any of that. Although we're human, so of course I still like, of course it still happens, right? That's just part of being a human. But it was just, it's very interesting for me. Like when you said filtered, it was just like, no, I don't want a filtered experience of life.
My wow. So that was like really
body had a reaction to it.
Yeah. Wow.
It's cool.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
It was like an automatic just.
Yeah. Just like, no, not for me. Go away. Yeah.
The authentic no came through.
The authentic no came through. Yes. That is for sure. It was like, no, don't want that.
Oh. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
That is interesting because I almost feel like for me, it's neutral. Like when I think of the term unfiltered, no, indirect filter versus indirect experience. For some reason, filter brings in a different image. Like I started to think about like a prism, how it might bend the light. So it's still the same light, but it's like altered, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I thought about indirect filter, I feel like it's the same view, but it's altered. And so it's almost like parallel is probably a bad idea, bad word for it, but it almost feels like direct versus indirect, I'm still going to get the same experience, but it's almost like a different path. Like it may take me off, so to speak, but I'll still get back there. I don't know.
Wow, Deborah, that's very mind-bending. I feel like
I'm
Inception Matrix.
I like that Mia mind-bending.
I'm like, yeah,
yeah, I don't know, for some reason it's like
same experience but different.
Yeah, right. It's like, yeah, I don't know.
But back to your point about it being neutral, neither is wrong.
Bad, right?
Neither is good or bad or right or wrong. So
yeah.
Yeah, Deborah just took it to level 10.
Like, there's a few levels.
Interesting
we might
how
explore.
The word filter brings up a different feeling than the word experience. I don't know, for me, the experience where it was like, okay. Mm. But then when I thought about filter, then I got a prism and all that other stuff. But yeah, but anyway, it's still the same thing. I just feel like it's an indirect path, but still the same path.
Very cool. Yeah. This is great. I love it. Are you sure you're not a philosophy PhD, Deborah? I'm not convinced right now. This is some fun stuff you're bringing up. I'm like, yes, where's the campfire?
I'm still stuck in that mind-bending. I'm going with that one.
yeah, okay. Direct, indirect, same. You're going to get, I think what I'm hearing here is like, you get to the same place, just different ways and probably different time, who knows, different variables, right? But you get ultimately same destination. Mm-hmm. And then filtered more so with the prism.
It's all just thought, Fawn, and we know what we feel about thought, right?
Oh, I love it. I love this kind of thought a lot. This is my favorite kind of thought. yeah. Awesome. That's so good. I love the prism. I love that imagery. It's like, ooh, that's great. Okay, so let's chat about what... What shifts or changes something from being a direct experience to an indirect experience or a filtered experience? Maybe said differently or different way of exploring it. What filters experience? Or what makes it contributes to experience being less direct?
For me, I mean, I feel like I've probably said it a million times, but for me, it's how present and in touch I am.
Mm.
Mind, body, connected, all that, but just how like present and also and byproduct of that, if I'm present, I'm not like putting all these thoughts and thinking around it, right? So it's not as filtered if I'm present. I am unfiltered.
Pure,
yeah. There, being clean, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Not physically clean.
Oh, no, I'm just thinking about the like, touching God, and we're talking about purity. I'm like, woo. I am a pure.
Okay, not that kind of pure either, but.
so present. Okay, so how, so the variable is like, how present am I from like fully present to lots and lots of thoughts going on that are the filters?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm going to ask an annoying follow-on question because I think might be helpful. So what is presence? How does that show up for you? What is that experience like? What is presence to you?
I mean, it's kind of like, it's like how, well, I wasn't always like this, but like with these calls, how I show up, I'm just going to say whatever the fuck comes out of my mouth.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So it's not like thinking about what I'm gonna say or think or whatever in any situation, whether it's these or at home or whatever, at work or whatever. It's just being so present that for me it's coming from a place of like, I don't know what I'm gonna say or what's gonna come out of my mouth, but things are just coming out of my mouth.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So it's direct in a sense also of like, it's not going through checkpoints. It's not like, what else, should I say this? Is this the right thing to say? Or like, what if it's just like, comes right through.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. And then, I mean, there's other examples too that don't involve words, but that's what came to mind.
Awesome. Thank you. Cool. Who else?
Okay, so now I'm feeling confused.
Excellent. That's what we're here for. Bring it on.
Right. So I think an example for me is an example of a filter maybe is, you know, I have like the insecurity of not feeling enough sometimes, even though I have it less and less. Thank you for coaching. I think a filter for me is not wanting, like when Ashley was saying, things just come out, like you don't like try to monitor your speech. Like for me, it's like, oh, will this make me sound stupid? Or, you know, that would be an example of a filter. But for me, I think I'm so concrete that when I think of filters, I think of things that like that would block me for some reason. Like I feel like we're kind of on this esoteric level, but for me, I'm on a more practical level, like a more 3D level, I guess, versus the fourth dimension, you know? So I don't know, like when I think about things that are blocking me from experiences, I think about things that are blocking me from my earthly experiences. Yeah. And not that it can't be both, but yeah, more concrete examples come to my mind.
Yeah. Pray tell, pray tell.
It's a good one. It's hard. I don't know. Like, I think, I don't know, when I think of the term experiences, I think about life experiences, and I just think about how I am in the world, like how I'm being, the things that I do or don't do. So maybe a filter would be something that I wouldn't do because of, back to the thought, because of some thought that's telling me I can't do that, or you know, that kind of thing. Something that would be blocking me from that actual physical experience. Like if I wanted to go to the beach, but I didn't want to get in a swimsuit. You know what I mean? Like that would be a filter in a sense. Yeah. Like, absolutely. Well, you can't go to the beach because, you know, you're not a size two or whatever, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Thank you.
So yeah, just kind of think about the things that are keeping me from doing the things that I would want to do. That I might ordinarily do, but then some filter, something is blocking me from it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Thank
Which
you.
Which kind of goes back to the presence. I know, look at Ashley with the she's like, what are you talking about? I have no idea. No. But back to the, I guess it does go back to thought, because thought impacts our actions, right?
Exactly. And,
yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Like you, no. That, thank you. Like this, you're putting, like you're making it real, right? Like what gets in the way of my experience? Well, the thought that I can't do this thing or I shouldn't do this thing, right? Yeah.
Or shame or whatever, right? Yeah.
Right. So things that impact our experiences in real life, like in the physical realm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bringing it down to earth. Thank you, Deborah. Yeah. Yeah. And to your point, right? Yeah, that's, I mean, and not like the thought that I can't go to the beer, get in a swimsuit because I'm, you know, to use that example. Yeah, thank you. That's great. Mia, anything come up for you?
I don't know why all of this talk conversation brought me back to this moment, I guess almost 20 years ago when, I had a break in between jobs. So I was living on an organic farm volunteering, and those were the, I felt like at the time, the best 3 months of my life was just being in nature, being with people who made me laugh all the time. It was so beautiful. But for some, because I was conditioned, right, from growing up, being part of society, that a real job after you graduate from college is da-da-da-da-da, and that kind of life is not a real job. So, like, I did not give myself permission to even think I could live that. It didn't feel like real life to me, you know, I didn't, which is crazy looking back on it now to think that I didn't think being happy was like a real thing. That, no, I have to have a career. I have to go back to New York and find a job and, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, it's just so crazy. And yeah, just so the filter, I guess, yeah, I would also say is conditioning, you know, just being society. Brought up in a certain way or looking at the structure of society and just not seeing another way around it, you know, to live. Yeah. I mean, so now I'm outside of that. I feel like, wow, it's so crazy to be so conditioned that you don't see another way out of it. Yeah. So that's what came up for me. And I'm now like, oh, I haven't thought about that in so long, 20 years, you know, just like that crazy, like not listening to yourself or not believing that what you felt was real because that's not what society taught you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really want to give, like, let that reverberate. Yeah.
It's so funny now. I'm thinking, yeah, I didn't even, now just talking about it, I'm realizing I'm like getting back to that again, you know, it's like coming full circle, but it took a while. Yeah, I guess timing is always perfect. So I needed this time to come full circle. But I still remember that time with such fondness, you know, just, yeah.
Who can relate in their own way, the version of that in their life? Woo! Oh. Yeah. Yeah. The innocence of being conditioned and not knowing any differently, but knowing differently. That deeper feeling we have of like, I really love this, but like, it's not okay. It's not allowed. Something's like, something must be wrong with my compass. I can't live on a farm. I'm not going to become a hippie. Like, what?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, do you want to be poor your whole, you know, like, still all this question of like, yeah.
Of what's valuable, what's important. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's probably one of the biggest lessons that I've been learning on this journey is that it's not about finding myself. It's about returning to myself. You know, exactly. That innateness in us. Yeah.
Oh, Deborah, drop this microphone. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to hold on to that, even now that we know, right? We still have to fight the condition.
Fear. There's so much, right? I mean, I feel it in myself. It's just so much fear. And you're like, why are you still here? Like, we've been on this journey for so long, and I've told you, and you've seen how I've manifested. So shut the fuck up. Like,
it's
why are you?
It's still scary.
But it's like your shadow. I don't think you can ever get rid of it, you know? So maybe that's the thing, right? It's the human shadow. Yeah.
So
maybe the point is not to get rid of it. I mean, I can see your shadow, Debbie, like Deborah in the back. Mm.
Oh, wall. Yeah, that's true.
Your shadow showing.
Your fear. That's your fear. That's your shit. That's your fear. Right,
but the point is not to get rid of it, it's to recognize. Oh, exactly. Yeah, right? Yes.
To accept it. We don't try to get rid of our shadow because we know that's not possible. So why? Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so if we can look at our fear the same way, just let it be there, just you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And know that we don't have to be afraid of it. Even though it's fear, right?
Right.
You don't have to be afraid of it. Yeah.
But how? That's what I want to talk about tonight. Can we get into that part where?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. I mean, thank you for the segue. It's like, couldn't be more perfect. Oh, that's so beautiful. So, so beautiful. Yeah. Deborah, I mean, like all of this, but these two pieces around, you know, it's not about finding ourselves, it's about rediscovering. I can't remember exactly
returning,
the language.
Yes.
Returning. Thank you. Returning. Right. Yeah. In the Mia, right? What a brilliant insight, like, or thing to notice that maybe it's like your shadow. Oh, maybe it's not about, you can't get rid of it. Maybe it's not about getting rid of it. Maybe it's about learning to live with it and like not making a big deal out of it, you know, or allowing for it to scare you every time you look behind you or see it. Right. Yeah. This is really big stuff. So, let me take a pause here and see what wants to happen. Yeah, I want to acknowledge the insight that just came through from 20 years ago that you haven't thought about in so long. That's what I love about this stuff is our wisdom is like right there to drop in these things that were like, I haven't thought about this in 20 years, but holy shit, that's like what we're talking about, right? With like filters and direct experience, and that was amazing to go with you, like bring that through. So cool. Like that's the power of I was reading something, who knows, intuition manifests as insight. Like intuition is like this felt thing, right? It's like, but like insight is like the thing that pops through and drops in. It was like the realization, the idea, the new thought, right? The new seeing. And I always love noticing, insight is the funnest thing ever, but also it's, to me, it's a sign that intuition is at the helm and not the conditioning. Which is really, it's really fun. So can we talk about the fear? Let's talk about the fear. So I think Ashley, Deborah, Amy have done the module 3, the reality filters, or at least familiar with that. Mia, I'll send that over to you. Essentially what it is like an introduction to this, how we work. And how, like a really basic, you know, how our brains construct our reality and interface with reality. And it's really interesting because nothing is what it seems, come to find out. Nothing is what it seems, but our experience of reality is simultaneously modulated by our brain, meaning that our senses, for example, like the way that the human eyes are calibrated are super different from the way a cat's eyes are calibrated, right? And so when we see what we see, our visual systems, what we see in the world is super different from cats, dog, everything else, right?
Wait, can you say
so
that again?
That our visual system modulates the world through like physical form and light. And so we see what we see, right? In like, I see my phone the way that I see my phone, and I assume everybody else sees their phone similarly, right? So our brains are modulating, and hi, Annie, welcome back. They're modulating as well as receiving. So receiving through our senses, right? It's just literal, like the data from the sensory world, sound waves, light waves, hard, soft, based on our skin. So we're inputting data all the time. So receiving that data and then modulating it through our brain, modulating it through our organs, eyeballs. and our brains are, for the most part, our brains are constructing the reality that we live in. So our brains are, it's so mind blowing, pun intended. It's so mind blowing how much of, if not almost all of what we experience as experience is created by our brains. like generated by our brains. Not to say that there's not a physical world out there. There is a physical world-ish out there. We are experiencing stuff, I'll put it that way. But not the actual stuff. Like, we're not experiencing the world for what it is. I'm not experiencing my pen for what it is. I'm not experiencing my lotion bottle, my sticky notes. We're experiencing our modulation of these things and then whatever our brain is constructing out of these things, right? So over the course of jillions of years, we have developed this incredible sensory system. So the important thing to underline here is that reality is not what it seems. And what we think reality is not actual reality. It's the reality we experience because of the way that our system experiences reality physiologically as well. So as a biological organism with our brain body, we have a unique experience of things. So this doesn't get talked about because science pretty much pooped on it for a long time, but essentially this, and so one of the things about the three principles when, you know, this, one of the things being that like thought gives rise to experience, I was like, oh, wow, they're talking about this. This is like not just that thought happens and we get confused between our thoughts and our experience, but actually thought, meaning the energetic, the formless coming into form in our brain body system is creating experience. And that got me really excited because that was the first place I had heard that outside of philosophy and physics. So when we talk about direct experience, or when I talk about direct experience and like non-dual teachings as well tend to kind of reference it in this way. Dzogchen Buddhism references it in this way. Direct experience insofar as Fawn experiencing the cup of water for what it actually is, that never takes place, like actually. I only experience what I experience about and of this thing, right? So that's really huge to know about us, our like humans, like what's going on here, right? To realize that we're literally living in a thought created reality. We're literally living in like interpretation of the world around us. Donald Hoffman refers to it as the, oh gosh, now I'm going to forget. Bernardo Kastrup refers to it as the dashboard. So like the input that's coming through our eyes and through our hands and through our, like our central nervous system and our vagus nerve is like, this is our dashboard and we experience what the dashboard, we don't actually experience the world around us for what it is. I can't remember.
Okay. So when you say
the interface. So he refers to it as an interface, similar thing, right? So that there's the implications of this are really interesting. And everything that you ladies, yeah, Deborah.
So when you say like our brains construct their reality, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't realize.
Oh, okay. Like the whole time Ashley's like nodding and I'm like confused.
Oh, sure. No, wait, sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So when you say our brain constructs our reality, or even I love the example of the dashboard, is mm-hmm. it my brain constructing my reality, Deborah's brain, or human brains? Like, do human brains construct the reality similarly versus my dog's reality, right? Or is it Fawn's reality and then Deborah's reality? Or is it both?
This is awesome. This is so awesome. I'm going to make you join my philosophy classes with me. You're done with school. Great question, right? So wait, who? Like, whose brain? What level of a brain? Are we talking general human brains? Are we talking about my personal like brain? Great, great, great question, right? So let's talk about that. Well, let's explore it. So, in fact, I think that was even the next question here. Who is or what is the Deborah that is having the experience? And I'm not being rhetorical, so that's like, we can all kind of try that on, you know, for ourselves, right? Who or what is the Fawn that's having the experience? Who or what is the Amy, the Mia, the Ashley? And this is a real sit with question. Like, actually, this is an entire lifetime's worth of exploration. who am I question? Like, who is Fawn? What is Fawn? Does Fawn even exist? So Eckhart Tolle says the most important question of our lives is the question of identity. And I certainly agree with that.
And also maybe it's a who and also a what.
Mm.
You know, what are we?
Mm.
I mean, this helps me. And you know, we're trying to talk about things that are beyond language, so it's hard because our language doesn't really have a way to talk about these experiences.
Mm.
So we find them hard to grasp because, I mean, that's another whole thing is language. If you don't have a word for a thing, is it a thing? Does it become in your reality? All the, you know, whatever, 90 words for snow that the Inuit have, where we just go, oh, it's snowing or it's wintry mix.
Mm.
So, but I mean, psychologically, when the psychologist philosophers try to put it into perspective, right? This is how I'm trying to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
We have the ego that's our...
I would be more curious about what, and you can keep going with this if this, you know, is relevant, but I'm curious about for you when you try, when each of us put this on experientially.
Yes. Right?
Who or what is the Fawn? Who or what is the Amy?
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess my that part of my brain, the left brain wants to categorize. Go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Let me just be a diagram. but when I have a direct experience of experience, when I can do, I can find myself in back of myself, like into the, whatever we call it, a witness position or whatever we're calling that place, where you can go, wait, who's saying this? There's that part of my consciousness that knows that I'm Amy sitting in Rhinebeck saying these things to you women in your various places that knows that, but there's the back behind that that goes, is watching all that happen.
Mm.
And who's that? And then who's watching the watcher? Now the yogis talk about this and have talked about it a long time, right? The Buddhists, the Hindu yogis. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, the yogis talk about this from 8,000 years ago, that you, God or the ultimate or oneness or direct experience is experienced in the spine,
mm-hmm.
like literally in the nervous system. So going back to the, you know, evolutionary of the nervous system, it's inherent in a nerve cell to have consciousness,
mm.
right?
Mm.
So then that builds, and so wherever this energy comes from that animates us, right, it comes through this system that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. That the yogis years and years, I mean, like millennia ago, like, okay, the energy from whatever comes in through the medulla, and it goes down, and it lights up the spine, and then we can feel things and sense things like a light bulb turning on.
Mm-hmm.
So your concepts, right? You're asking me how I experience it. It depends on what I'm fucking thinking.
There we go. Nice. Okay.
Right? Like, I mean, I just got off the phone with my daughter. Great example.
Is she okay?
Yeah, I hope so. She's had a concussion and just feeling really weird, and you know, but she gets very dramatic, and she definitely has it. She broke her nose, but she animates things into the negative, right? Mm-hmm. This is her thinking. I've been trying to teach her since she's a little toddler. The glass is half empty or half full. So I don't know. I think it's how we perceive it and the stories we tell and the thoughts that we tell ourselves that something is. And so when you can get back behind all those stories of yourself, and it's so, I mean, I just so want to shake her, like, stop thinking all that shit. Like, you construct, my life is horrible, and it's, her life is fucking great. But she knows that. She flips into the other side. My life is incredible. Like, the most amazing, like, it's the same life, you know, but experiences are happening. Mm. You know, I mean, Michael Singer calls them rattlesnakes and butterflies, right? If you guys know Michael Singer's work. Yeah. So of course we want butterflies, but I don't know. Where am I going with this? Mm. What am I experiencing? So much, too much all the time.
So it would seem then that the who am I, right? The I that we're talking about, the Deborah, like we're talking about Deborah's brain, we're talking about Fawn's, you know, brain. And I don't mean to just say brain when I say brain, I'm brain body, us, the corporeal self. right. So it would seem, Amy, I think if I'm tracking, I mean, I am tracking, but also for the sake of like fresh exploration in the moment right now, that our me-ness, the I is not, it's not a singular thing, and it's not a finite, like, oh, this is me, but that you're, I think what you're pointing to is that there's levels and layers and focal perspectives, and there's different ways of being I.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the multiplicities that we are, that we have all these very different, and sometimes they don't know each other and they're unconscious, and they, you know, these different parts of ourselves that I never thought I would have behaved like that. You know, when that other thing that you didn't know that lived there, or when you have this revelation, right, Deborah, of like, oh my God, I thought, you know, that I hated lima beans for years. And then I actually, you know, and I had this whole construct around lima beans, and, but we have that about people. We have that about race. We have that about, you know, we have these constructs that are constructed out of thoughts, out of culture, out of entire culture and millennia that are probably, not probably, we're finding, right, are epigenetically placed. They're in our DNA, and they start to go through the culture. And so here we are, women sitting in, you know, how many thousands of years of patriarchy, how many thousands of years of, you know, colonialism, and how, and so of course Deborah sees different than I see, than you see, than you see, than you see, because our construct,
our experiences,
it's how we're experiencing.
Be it direct or indirect, now let me
say. Yeah, Amy, while you were on your call, we were exploring what is direct experience, you know, to each of us. We popcorned it, and what is indirect experience, or what is a, you know, filtered experience, and what does filter direct experience. Mm-hmm. And so we were kind of exploring in there, right? And conditioning came up. Mia's amazing, you know, example of conditioning, you know, thoughts, the I can't because, or mm-hmm. I'm not enough, and, you know, all these. And so absolutely, to put a, you know, a highlighter and an underline under that. And this begs the question, right? Like direct experience. And I'm not trying to get overly philosophical here or whatever, but, you know, are we having direct experience when we think we're having direct experience? And who is having the direct experience? What is having the direct experience, right? What is having the experience? And then here's kind of the follow-on question to this. And I kind of just gave the answers earlier, but what is it that, how do we know when we're having direct experience? how do we know when, yeah, right? And and how reliable is that? How consistent is that? So I'm going to have each of you, let's do a little activity. I'm going to have each of you grab an item nearby you. It does can be anything. It doesn't have to be anything particularly interesting or special or anything. Just an item other than your computer. Okay. Let me know. Got something, Mia? What do you have? A Schweppes. Nice. All right. Hold up your items. I'll play along. Let me pick a. Cool. All right. Awesome. It's fun because I have no idea what Mia's is.
I was like, that's not your underwear, is it? No, I'm just kidding.
It's a thong.
I know, just teasing.
Oh, goodness. Okay. All right. So we're going to do, I'm going to track the timer and play along with you guys. Well, maybe I'll just track the timer. So go ahead and put your item in front of you. It doesn't matter really the distance, just where you can see it. And we're going to do 30 seconds of being with our item. And then we'll do something else. Ready, go. And you can touch it and or not, or throw it against the mouth. Just kidding. Okay. Anyone want to share? We're going to do a few of these in a few different ways. Anyone care to share what that was like or anything you noticed?
I immediately thought, because I was I'm about to start talking to this coffee cup in my head. I immediately thought of Tom Hanks in the movie Wilson, right? That's the one that's graduates to the volleyball is his companion. Yes. It's like, oh yeah, we can make things into anything that we want them to be. Totally. So that's what came up for me as I was staring at my, and immediately was going to just start talking to it because it's like, what else am I going to do while I stare at this coffee cup? But you can also see how trippy it can be to and because of the experience, the Tom Hanks thing that popped into my mind immediately, you can see how trippy it can be and how I almost want to say easy to, oh my God.
I was about to say, what is your cat doing?
He's doing a catwalk, of course. Okay.
That's kind of trippy,
right?
And easy. He's making it look very easy.
Yeah,
he's gonna pounce on something.
Oh my god!
His brother. He's about to pounce on his brother.
Oh,
he's about to
wow! He looks so, wow.
Don't do that. I'm also a monster. Hmm. Anyways, what I was saying is, you can almost see how easy it is to create something into whatever you want it to be, right? It was very easy for me to be all right, this is how my brain works, but all right, I can just sit here and talk to this crock in my brain, and it can be
constructed your reality.
Right, exactly, yes, yeah. Yeah, that's what I experienced and how easy it can do that.
Thank you. Yeah. Ooh, awesome.
Cool. Right?
Right. Okay. I'll touch back on that in a minute, but anybody else want to share a quick and like anything that came up for you while you were being your object?
Just going to say that I get obsessed with this ginger ale zero sugar.
Ooh.
And I never noticed what's on it, but it's a fountain and that it started in 1754 and it's premium. It says on top of the little green fountain and, you know, just sort of noticing what I've never noticed before. Mm. And then I thought of where this got born, the moment it was born and turned into a can. And then, you know, so then I was like thinking of all the people that made this come to me in my hand right now. And how interconnected we all are, because I don't know any of the people that brought me the Schweppes Zero Sugar Ginger Ale that's premium. Apparently started in 17.
Talk about constructive reality. Now let me stop.
That's a constructive reality. That is a total construct. And
oh God.
Right?
Mmm.
And so then
you believe in that's premium.
I didn't know.
Better than watered.
Exactly. Oh my God.
Yeah. So you went into a bit of like an observational narrative of sorts of like.
Yes. But then I also knew that I ended up with before I stopped was that it's also made up of actual space. It's like tiny little vibrating atoms that are mostly space. But it appears solid. Just saying.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
I wonder what everyone else saw with their, I mean, you have a pretty thing, Deborah.
I was going to say, Mia, I want to feed off the vibrations if that's okay with you. So I tried to like look at my, I love my little object, by the way. I keep it by my computer because.
Oh, is that like the angel you got me?
It is, but this is like, I think she's a dancer or something, but the name of it is Patience. And I just like how calm she looks. So I keep it by my computer, right? And so I was just looking at it and I was trying to look at it like thinking direct, right? Versus indirect, right? And I was like, well, what would indirect experiencing this be, what would that be like, right? I didn't get that far, but I did start looking at like these interesting, looks like hieroglyphics or something on the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. So then I started wondering about that. And then I kind of, it's like a,
that's cool.
The light is not that great, but it looks like all these interesting, like it would be paintings on a wall or something in a cave. Mm-hmm. From thousands of years ago or something. But, and then I turned her all the way around because I was trying to experience her. But nothing like the cup, by the way, actually. You went off into another whole world, girl. But I did think about vibrations for some reason. And that's what I wanted to connect to, because I was thinking maybe direct experiences are when we're operating at a higher vibration. And then indirect experiences, a lower vibration. I don't know. But I thought about that because of the term joy. So when you started talking about constructing our reality, and then I was thinking like, is it my brain or is it all human brains that see things similarly, right? Mm-hmm. And then I started, for some reason, don't even ask me because I don't even know, this is new to me, Ayurveda. Like I've been reading about that lately. Don't ask me how that came up, but like literally this is where my brain went, right?
Awesome.
Then it went to joy. And so I was like, oh, joy is like the highest vibration. Remember I learned that with you, right? When you sing that beautiful song. Ooh, I want you to say that to me again. I could not find that to save my soul. But
sure.
That was just so like, oh. Anyway, so I thought about joy being the highest vibration. And then that's what took me to that maybe indirect experiences are when you're operating at a lower vibration. There we are.
Mm.
It's just a thought. Just a thought. Hello. No.
Mm. Yeah. Curious thought, right?
Curious. Yeah. Ooh, curiosity.
That's new. It's like a fresh curiosity. Hmm.
Yeah.
And a line of thinking that you haven't gone down before. Right? Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Mia, how was your song?
That's a good one, Paul.
Well, I was looking at the material. I'm like, it's not very nice. It's very cheap, cheaply constructed. It's actually a sock, one of those like winter socks. But It's clean. Don't worry. It's not. I've never worn it before. I just found it. And I'm like, oh, I was just looking at the material and thinking about how, like, not good it is. That's like, what a cheap piece of crap. That's what I was thinking. Like, oh, and just, you know, it feels like plastic, you know? And I'm like, why is it even here? I don't know where it came from. But yeah, that's it. Nothing deep about it, just a cheap sock.
What is this?
No, I love the color. From? I love the color.
I know, it's a nice. It looks like it should be soft, but it's.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. I love the color.
Don't yellow. Show it on your socks. okay, we're gonna play again. We're gonna do another round. Ding ding ding! Amy Lemon. Hopefully she can join us. Okay, same object, same thing. And we're going to do 30 seconds again. And this time, I invite you to be with your object as if you were an alien from another planet. Ready, go. Okay. Who's up to share what that was like?
Well, I was looking at these patterns. Like, these are the extrusions, like rubbery
extrusions. What's an extrusion?
Well, textured, you know, like, I guess for like walking. I don't know. So
oh, was, Amy's back. So, sorry, may I finish and then we'll do that again with Amy here.
So as an alien, I'm like, wait, what's the purpose of all? I mean, there are these buttons. Like, do I press? There must be a reason. Like, why? I guess, yeah, when I think of an alien, I'm thinking, you know, computer stuff, even though that's again, right? Like a construct, because that's what we've seen in movies. And how do we know aliens are spacey? Like, maybe they're more like plants, you know, more organic and not this like far out. I mean, I have no idea. Like, it's so, everything we think about space is so high tech related, but maybe that's just one way of, one out of an infinite way of what an alien could be, you know? But we just think of robots and these, I don't know. That's what I think anyway. I don't know what everyone else. But yeah, maybe it's more about like plants are aliens in a way, if you think about it. I've been reading a lot about plants and their languages and, you know, the way they communicate and how they affect our consciousness, everything, like how powerful they are, you know, that we don't think about or just we don't even realize. So yeah, like what are aliens?
Ooh, you are.
Who are they?
You're asking the right gal, but not for this conversation. Oh, so you were like, what are these little extrusions for? What is this pattern? Like,
yeah, like everything should be for a reason. Like, why is something, why does it exist? You know, if it's just like a frivolous, like, I mean, there's a lot of crap that exists that shouldn't, like this sock, because it's like a cheap material. But yeah, just if everything was more thoughtful, I think would be better, you know, less but more thoughtful versus more and less thoughtful, like fast fashion, you know, that kind of stuff.
More practical.
Yeah, just we produce a lot of shit, you know, that doesn't just
I'm human.
Yeah.
So you're a judgmental alien. Okay, we got it.
Like, if it's there, it better be for good reason.
What are these extrusions? You better explain yourself.
Yeah, better be some kind of code, you know, that I can just touch and decipher.
Right, right.
What kind of language is this? What's it speaking to me? What kind of music is it playing? Maybe I have to...
Oh, that's so good. Yes. Yeah. And I love that you caught that. You're like, actually, I don't know what an alien thinks about. I'm totally projecting this like beep, boop, boop, sci-fi kind of button pushing, you know, techie alien, but who knows? Yeah, that was fun. It was fun to witness you catch that, you know, of like, okay, well, we'll keep going on the circle. We're going to do a couple more of these from different ways. Deborah, Ashley, Amy, while you were off, we were being with our object as an alien with our object. We're sharing what we noticed.
She's already off and running. Mine is short and sweet. Actually, listening to Mia talk made me realize that I had a construct going that my alien was more intelligent than humans. And I didn't realize that until I listened to her, because I was like, literally my alien was like looking down upon, you know, right? Like these humans. And so because mine has a human shape, in my mind, it was thinking, what's wrong with this little human person? Why can't they move? What happened to their face? You know, what is this writing? You know, so it was this kind of thing, like, but again, this looking down, up high, looking low, which I didn't realize until I was listening to her talk about her sock.
That's awesome. That is so, isn't that fascinating that you didn't realize it until then? That is really cool. Wow. So we've got two judgy aliens in the house. Ash, how was your experience?
Mine, I was just literally, I guess, not literally. Well, yeah, whatever. Anyways, approaching it from curiosity and just like, but I immediately wanted to like put my hands on it and like be like, what is this? Why does this do this? Like, let's take this cap off. There's liquid in here. Let's drink it. Like, what? It was very like, just very like, what is going on here? Why? And just very curious, hands-on experience for that.
Experiential.
My alien wanted to be very experiential. So, but yeah.
So like genuinely curious, like what?
Yeah. What is this? Like, what does this do? All of it.
Thank you.
Oratory.
All right. Okay. We're going to do another round of being with our objects. And this time, would you like a little more time? Does 30 seconds feel too fast or is that enough? It's enough. Okay. This time, I invite you to be with your object with presence. With presence. Ready, go. Okay. Ashley smirked. Would you like to go first?
Sure. One, it's like, I'm like, it's impossible to be fully present when you just told me to be present.
But wait, what do you mean?
Because I'm sitting there being present with my cup here. But like, there's still thoughts running. There's still things going on. Like, so I'm just trying to be, but then I'm like, but this is impossible. Just to be here with it completely. Right? Like, I can be. I don't know. For me, I need to like be present and close my eyes and not look at it. That's making any sense.
So presence is a thoughtlessness. Is that what you're pointing at?
Well, kind of, but it's not going to be completely thoughtlessness. I don't know if that's possible. It's for me, it's not even like a, I don't really know how to explain it. For me, it's not something that you can like technically force.
Like it's not on tap or on demand.
Right.
Interesting. Oh, this is like, fun.
Yeah, I can like catch myself when I like am not being present or have gotten distracted, and I'll just bring myself back. But it's not like, I'm not sure how, like what I'm trying to say, but.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
For me, presence is, it just kind of, I don't know. It doesn't just kind of happen, because there are times when I'm like, whatever, but it's a different feeling. Or maybe it's like, for this, it's like, I don't really want to be present with my cup here.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it is kind of a thoughtlessness, but it's so like, yeah, it's like not, my brain wants to say like, yeah, it's a thoughtlessness for me, but it's like, is that even completely possible? So.
Cool.
May I go next?
I just want to just say something.
Yeah.
This is really cool. Like, this kind of stuff is really cool to me. Like, is presence on tap? Like, the things that come up, right? Of like, is presence, can I? And what is it really? Is it complete thoughtlessness? Like, this is the exploration.
Yeah.
Juicy stuff that there's obviously no wrong or right at all, right? It's not like, I don't know, Ashley. This is the exploration we get to do in expanding our awareness of our experience, right? Of like, I never realized that about myself, that I, you know, have this thing running in the background all the time or whatever. So, thanks for letting me kind of poke at that a little bit. We're gonna have so much fun with that at some point. Okay, Deborah, you can.
So actually, I love that. I wrote that down because that was a really good question about, can you just demand it, right? I need presence. But it also made me think about like, can we actually experience presence with inanimate things? Right? Because I'm just like, with, you know, especially since mine looks like a person, right? That actually helps, right? So I'm thinking, like, I compared it to the alien. With the alien, it was more questioning and why this, why that? But I noticed when I tried to be present, it was more of an equal, instead of a looking down like the aliens, it was more like we were equal, me and this object, right? And so it was like, what could you possibly be feeling based on the way your face is, you know, that kind of thing. So it just felt more like we were on the same plane. Yeah.
Awesome.
But then when Ashley started talking, I started thinking, can you actually be present with something that doesn't have, you know, whatever, yeah, you get it. Yeah.
That's a fascinating thing to bubble up, like to come up, right? Like, can you, you know, so it, these are things like that, I've never thought about this before. I've never really wondered this before. You know, I just kind of thought presence, I thought I had a handle on it, kind of, at least conceptually, but maybe I don't.
Because when I experience it, it's normally within myself, right? I am present. But here you're asking me to be present with something else. You know, I don't know how to explain that, if that makes sense, right? Normally it's like how I'm being, but now you're asking me to be. I don't know. I can't.
Okay, no, I don't get it. Keep going. Keep pulling the threads.
You're good at like telling me what I'm thinking. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm pretty good at being present in the world, but now you're asking me to be present with an object, and it feels like a different kind of being. It's not just me being. Now I have to be in connection with something else. I don't know. I can't describe it, Fawn. I really can't.
No, you don't have to. This is the point of it. I swear to God, I'm not being facetious. Like, the point of this, all of this, isn't to know the answer and have the language for it and let our left hemisphere ramrod its way through our experience. Like, the point of it is to have this exact, like, whoa, huh, that's interesting. Right. Yeah, this is, we're in the sandbox. This is great.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, never. And also, God, please never anybody feel like you have to have the answer or the words to describe anything. Like, you know me. I'd much rather you be like, I'm right hemisphering right now. I have no idea what's going on. That's cool. And there is a bigger theme to that too that I'll actually make a note of and circle back to. But yeah, thank you. So you're good at being present in the world.
Like me, like never is present. But I don't even see that as like about the other things around me. It's about me. But then when you ask me to be present with this object, then all of a sudden it's like, it's almost like that thing now is part of my control or part of my being versus me and then the world. It's almost like we're connected now. That thing, yeah.
And how does that interact with presence?
My first thought was, it's like that vibrating at a higher level kind of thing. Because it's like going beyond self.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Say more. You started with
Jump the philosophy. Jump in anytime, ladies, anytime.
I don't know. You started with the philosophy this evening. No, if I'm feeling annoying, you know, we'll pass.
Oh, no, no, not at all. I love it, but it's like that. It's like a gentle pushing, but it's like I don't know. I can't describe. I don't have the words. I don't have the words. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good nudging, but. Yeah, I think it would take me longer to process what it is I'm actually thinking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Experiencing, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll just out this right now, right? So language. I think one of the bullet points I hope I put in the email, sometimes I space, but like, you know, how does language affect our experience, right? Man, I'll do a whole call on this. Please remind me to do a whole call on this because truly we're... All language is metaphor. All language is construct.
Yeah.
And we've been taught and programmed to identify our experience with our ability to communicate and our ability to conceptualize, which is not direct experience. Like, there's some filter going on there, right? Which is happening in real time right now with you ladies. And I'm over here like, hee, hee, hee.
So the language is one of the filters.
Yeah. Right? I mean, that seems like at least all one of us.
Human, actually.
Right. Where it's like, I can't describe. I can't. It's hard to. Right?
Mm-hmm. And it's just like what Amy said earlier about all the words for snow, right? Like how much easier it would be to describe something if you had all those options, you know? Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Versus just two or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And experience, and especially in what we're up to, we're dancing around in consciousness. We're playing consciousness games tonight, right? That's what we're up to. And trying to describe conscious experience with language, especially when we've not been given a vocabulary for it for the most part, is like trying to shoehorn the full spectrum of light through a prism that is like has two, you know, outs on the other side, right? Language is massively helpful and entirely limiting.
But limited, exactly. Yeah. Limiting is even better.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and this is the, you know, not to go too far with this right now, but this is where the materialist, scientific, rigorous empiricism and all of that, that's where it stands on its pedestal. And it's like, prove it. Prove it. Describe it, right? Describe your experience with God.
Describe,
prove it. And even with language science, empiricism and materialism specifically are still like, whatever, you don't have any data points. It's got holes all through it. But so we've been chided and most people at least, like, demeaned and put down and made fun of and just basically told, like, what are you talking about? Shh, right? When it comes to anything that is experientially rich or experientially dynamic or, right? So,
I was just going to say, I got to say it. I'll be honest, like, around other people, I don't even use the word vibration, okay?
Oh, I know. I know. That's why earlier I was like, never said vibration.
No, don't talk about that. They'll think you crazy, right? What? Vibrating what? And it's still a new world for me, but I'm open. But most people are not. They're like, no, that's another whole crazy people realm, you know?
Why do you think I opened this call with, like, 15, not disclaimers, but like, hey, this is coming from science, I promise.
I promise I didn't just make this up.
Right, because we might be talking about things like vibration and it might sound kind of out there. Yeah, right. Yeah, and language, I mean, and everybody has their, that's a whole thing. On most calls, if there is a topic or a theme, I go around and I'm like, what does this mean to you? What does this mean to you? What does this mean to you? Right, or what comes up for you? Because we all, I don't know, like there's kind of an assumption that like what I mean is what you mean, but that's, you know, as we always discover, there's like definitely cross sections and Venn diagramming happening, but there's so much uniqueness and subtlety and like, oh, I didn't know that, you know, or that's not what it feels like for me or whatever. Yeah. So I want to celebrate and there's a revolution happening already where, the inability to describe something in language is oftentimes referred to as the ineffable. That's actually pointing to a really awesome phenomenon that's happening. That means we're in our experience. And hasn't gone through the mold of language yet. It hasn't been, you know, filtered, right? Yet at that level, at least. So, yeah. Mm. Yeah. So poetry and music, and this is, you know, McGillicuddy talks about this a lot, like the right hemisphere. This is why the right hemisphere is all about the expression and the description of experience through non-conceptual, non-symbolic expression. Music, poetry, movement, relationship, poetry. Poetry being different from like prose in that poetry is abstract, but it's pointing. You read a poem, you have an experience. Well, you know, Mary Oliver at least. I always celebrate when there's like a wordlessness. Articulation is fun and helpful, but when it's like, I don't know, fun, I'm like, awesome. That's the best news of the night. Yeah. Okay. We'll keep going around the circle. I took a little pit stop there. Presencing. Yeah, Amy.
Okay, now I'm really tripping here. Okay. I don't even know where, because I did a miniature alien experience, and I hated this alien for no reason. Hated.
You hated the alien or the can?
This huge emotion came up. I hate this thing. What? Where is that coming from? I don't know.
Huh.
It was in no way rational, but I hated this alien. And then when I tried to be present with it and be in it with a different way, I loved it. I felt love. What is that? I have no idea. I'm just describing my experience. And then my mind jumped in and goes, oh, that's interesting. You can hate or love the same thing in this space of like 5 minutes. And it's the same thing ostensibly, right? Literally. And I really had these emotions. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, as my training as an actress, and one of my first acting classes when I was really young was for a commercial acting class. And they said, I'll never forget this, hold up the product, right? And it probably was a can. It was a can, Pepsi. I was like 16. Hold up the product, look at it and love it. And so that was a revelation to me, by the way, was that, because it was something, and then she described to me this, whoever it was, this is, okay, pretend that's something you really love, like peanut M&Ms. Like, oh, because I don't like this, what I'm holding, but I love peanut M&Ms. So I'll pretend it's peanut M&Ms, i.e. I will project onto it my peanut M&M experience. You know, it's just so basic, right? It's so fucking basic, but it is real. That's why my travels in as an actress were so experiential and so consciousness traveling, because that was just the beginning of, oh. So, yeah, I was thinking about symbols and signs and how they're different, a symbol and a sign. Because the first thing in consciousness that I understand, that's made sense to me, is that consciousness comes as image. The first sort of projected consciousness is an image. And then we describe the image and we filter the image and we construct the image and we project meaning onto the image. But even these ancient cave paintings, they made representations of what they saw, right? Art, all of art is that, but then what I think Fawn's talking about is then we have an experience of the poem. We have an experience of the person. We have an experience of music. That is what, you know, Chalmers and those guys, David and Chalmers and those guys who are hardwired scientists call, right? But they're calling that the hard problem of consciousness. Why do I have an experience of blue when I hear Mozart's Fifth Piano Concerto? This is what they can't figure out, right? Mechanically. And they're driving themselves crazy trying to figure that out mechanically, right? So then they go into quantum and all that. But the experience, can we just override? I'm asking myself this. Could I override all that projection? I love it. I hate it. The same thing. And let it be what it is, because this is what you were saying, Deborah, to me. Expand myself enough so that I become this, so that we're the same thing. It's part of me. It's part of my circle of self or whatever, just expanding myself out. And I think that's what you're saying, a higher consciousness, where like I can expand enough to where, oh, that's just part of me. And it does, then interestingly, the emotion, let me check in with that. The emotion about it is neutralized. I'm just going to say that. That's the best word I can come up with. The emotion's neutralized, and I'm just, that's where the language fails. Being with it, you know?
And that's what I meant by, like, equal. It felt like, yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
That's it. It's like.
Get it and love it. Okay. Mm. Wow. That's cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. Mm. And isn't, like, okay, if we're, okay. Isn't everything a projection? I'm just saying. Isn't everything a projection? I mean, literally everything. Like, didn't, like, whatever and vast intelligence that runs the universes project all this matter out of its cosmic amazing. I don't know. This is.
I mean, so the philosophy of mind. So, oh God, where do I start this? Yes, there is an understanding of the universe wherein universal mind is consciousness, which is those who say consciousness is primary or consciousness is fundamental, right? That some people refer to the everything as universal mind. And that universal mind has thingified itself. And there's various descriptions as to how that's happening. A projection in a literal sense, like there's a piece of me that maybe projection of mind projecting something as it's like a manifestation of itself. We can have a whole call around that. That's some fun territory for sure. Yeah. But that, yes, short answer, that is one way of understanding the universe, that philosophy, physics, some wisdom traditions, some veins in these realms dance in. Yeah.
But is that just a construct? I mean, I think that there's thoughts that we can't think yet. I think that there's things we can't conceive of, obviously. Because I could never conceive in my early childhood, other than until it came on Star Trek, that I would have a communicator.
Right. A communicator?
Communicator.
Oh, good.
Body. But that's what it was. That's what it was. It was a thing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't come in until it's conceptualized. So what isn't conceptualized that totally...
Yes.
Right? Like total, utter possibility of beyond, like if the universe is really as we try to imagine, infinite, then there's infinite possibilities of things that we literally can't even see yet because we don't either have the experience of it, right?
Yep.
We haven't experienced that yet. So there's that amazing, that's coming to my mind. There's that amazing thing that this is in South America, and when the colonizers came and the natives like couldn't see their ships because they had no concept of what a ship was, so they literally couldn't see it. So they went to the seer, they went to the priest, and he could see them. And when he could see them, they could all see them. Isn't that weird?
That happens to us every day, all the time.
No way.
Yep.
Yes, we can't see it till we see it. I mean, when you look, right, there's all those, what are they called? What are they called? They're called something. Where, you know, the drawings that suddenly I see an old woman and I... I think we do that. And that's a...
When there's not a pre-existing construct for objects or occurrences... Mm-hmm. Our brain does the best it can to heuristically, like, that is a, you know, the closest thing the brain can come up with. So that also an entire call. Yes. And what I love about what you just, I love all of what you just shared, Amy. What's really fun about what you just brought to the table here is what are we not experiencing that we're capable of experiencing, but we're just not experiencing it yet because of our filters, right?
And are you saying that on an individual level or on a human level?
Great questions. Yes.
Both. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And filters, going back to what are the filters that, modulate direct experience? Perhaps conscious levels of consciousness. There are tons of psychological studies where you induce a state in somebody, like anger or fear or love or joy or excitement, right? And you show them a picture and people see very different things depending on what state they're in, right? And this is also part of the three principles and why I really love it, because it's like when we're in a super hyperactive, thinky mind, or we're in a contracted state of narrowly focusing on our, right? The world we see and the reality that we experience is very, very different. And to your point, Amy, it's same thing. Like I was angry and then I'm and the filters are, we are a filter. Right. And I'm going to get to you, Mia. I know we haven't checked in with you about your presencing, but I love, Amy, that because this question goes super, super, super fun. I wouldn't have conceived of this. None of us would have conceived of, the communicator before there was a communicator. But that doesn't mean that we don't have the capacity to conceive of it. There's some really, really super fun stuff to play with. Yeah,
artist who wrote Star Trek went, I know, idea came. Let's make a communicator that can then, they can talk and they can, and they can beam him up and it could turn him into particles and he can get sucked up into the,
into the holodeck.
I mean, how everything starts with an idea.
But even his idea came from somebody else's idea. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
It goes all the way back to experience. I mean, something had to give him the idea to have the idea.
What's the something?
You know what I mean? Exactly. I mean, it could have been, I was, doing blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, this idea came to my mind. Could be something you were touching or feeling or doing or, cooking or something. You know what I mean? So I feel like all the ideas come from something.
Go ahead.
No, tell me, what were you thinking?
That's an interesting thing because there's generative creativity, which tends to be additive, right? So things build on each other, ideas build on each other, and innovations and inventions are kind of the combination of, oh, wow, these came together. There are also hundreds of examples throughout history of ideas that have no basis, and unfortunately, a lot of these people got murdered, but there are people who receive, who get visions or are insignificant on either side. But there are case histories throughout time of people and they're like, I don't know what that is,
Okay, so I believe you, but I don't believe you.
Awesome.
I believe Tesla. That is true. What were you about to say, Amy?
I have an example of Albert Einstein. They didn't kill him. And he said unequivocally, every idea I have comes when I'm sleeping. So it's coming from not my conscious mind. It's coming from, he called it the mind of God, or he said
imagination.
And, I read something the other day too about, it was Bob Dylan and Tom Petty, and they were talking about songwriting. And they weren't talking together. This is a separate thing. But there was one of them goes, oh my God, there's a song coming in. I got to grab it. No, it was Prince. I got to grab it before Tom gets it. So they had this sense of that there's this song floating in the air that they better channel and put on, or someone else is going to, which is why all these things can come into, suddenly there's, yes, they build on each other, but there's also, maybe there's something, you know, floating around. Where did she go? Disappeared. Did she get beamed up?
Never beamed up.
Anyway, I'm tripping now.
Yep. Okay, Mia, how was your presencing? She's like, I've been presencing all of you guys. I don't even know.
That was a long time.
Sorry, Mia.
I'm actually interested in what we're talking about, the filter, like going into.
I got beamed up, guys. Sorry. I want to say, don't stop, but I had to deal with Blue. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know, just thinking about, you know, the outside world, it's the same no matter what, right? It's what we bring, we experience what we, through the filter. Yeah, so I'm just thinking, like on the days where you feel like things don't look as magical as you like them to be, like how to consciously change the filter so that it can be, you know, that's what I'm, yeah, just on a practical level. That would be interesting. But again, maybe it's not something you can turn on and off. So you just have to go with the flow and I don't know.
Well, you know, that's a fabulous, you know, real world curiosity and note and like awareness that you're having there. Noticing that there are filters happening in the first place is works, I swear to God, miracles for make those filters kind of lifting off, because it's like, oh my gosh, I have a, and so it's like, what do I have here? Like, what's up with my day, right? But also the ability to be like, oh yeah, I'm a human, I have filters, it's all good. They're going to change at some point, maybe in an hour, maybe tomorrow, you know? So maybe a different way to ask that question or be curious about that is like direct experience. How, like what brings me into or closer to direct experience? If filters are what modulate our reality and modulate our experience, how, like what is conducive to being in direct experience? Does that make sense, Mia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if filters are what modulate our experiences, then getting closer to the experience you actually want to have will require you removing some of the filters. Is that what you're
I'm
saying?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, right? Because the experience you want to have
could be with the filter. Hello?
I don't know. But having direct experience, and that's where LSP and like what we're up to is we're getting out of the realm of preference, like what I think I want life to be like, and actually being in life. And to Mia's point, like maybe it's not about trying to get rid of the shadow. Maybe it's not trying to get rid of the fear, right? Direct experience itself is so illuminating. Half the time we don't even, you know it's there. That what we want isn't irrelevant necessarily, but that neutrality that you ladies have been talking about, it's not a dead neutrality, right? It's a liberating, free, we are like, I am here and this is here and you are here, and there's no stuff judging it or classifying it or constructing it.
That's so funny that you just said that, because that's how I felt about the sock, about the presents. Because, you know, before I was like, oh, the material is cheap, it doesn't feel good. I was judging it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, being present with it, I was like, there was no judgment. I didn't care that it didn't feel good. It was there.
That we was all amazing. Experienced that on some level, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, oh, yeah. That is pretty cool.
Yes. Wait, a free and home in the home stretch. Yeah. And that's the power of.
But then isn't that changing the filter? Like, okay, so before your question was, if we're the alien, a filter. The next one was be present. That's the filter, right?
Well, as we realized, maybe being present, maybe what we think being present is, we're not quite sure yet, which is totally fine and awesome and exciting, right? Presence, so direct experience. I think when most people, and this is why also I find this fun, the languaging of it fun, like presence. I remember last year, actually, in the Adventures of Awareness class that I was taking, I remember the moment where I was like, holy fuck, everybody doesn't experience presence like I do.
Right.
I was like, what? How can she? What? Like, how
we're
is
the same
her?
Room. We're seeing the same thing.
Yeah. Like this, she was like describing her. And well, which is funny. I had actually described what my experience was like being present with something. And this other woman was like, that's really interesting what Fonda said, because that is not what I experience as presence. And I was like, and she like shared what it was like for her. And I was like, what? We don't experience presence the same way. It like, I felt the around that. Right. So if presence, or what I think is presence, actually has filters running, then presence has filters.
It is whatever, right? It is what it is.
Right. And inevitably, and this is where Rupert Spira, I'm going to send all of you a guided Rupert Spira. It's kind of like a talk, but also kind of like a visualization. He's amazing. His whole thing is getting into direct experience of like, it's so great. So this is how we begin to kind of explore even like what we mean by presence and kind of have realizations of, man, I thought I was present, but I don't know if I am. And direct experience, right? And the implication of direct experience is that it's direct. I'm having the experience directly. Now, as humans, inevitably, to what we spoke to earlier, we have senses. We have, you know, we're interfacing through the dashboard.
Yeah.
So we're having a direct experience as much as we can have one as a human. But then there's this other totally massively huge universe of consciousness that doesn't depend on our humanness to have experience, to have direct experience. And that's where I think Amy was talking about it earlier, like the watcher and who's watching the watcher. And like, you know, like, so exercising, like, and for most, myself included, for most people, it was just like, what are you talking about? You know, like, but guided, like there, to be able to have an experience of, like, basically no self, no identity, no, like, nothing's, like, the modulation. Not that any of that's bad, but just the point that we are essentially consciousness. Consciousness is fundamental. And consciousness has an awareness presence in us as human beings. That's kind of beyond all of this stuff. So I would say presence might actually, this is a great question, presence might actually be kind of like downstream from direct experience.
Okay, so I started this call totally confused. At some point, I thought I was on board. And now as we start to wrap up, I'm confused again.
Yay!
Because in my mind, I'm sort of seeing direct experience and presence. Which I called being present. I don't even know if that's different. It's the same thing. Direct experience and being present is the same thing. But you're now saying it's maybe like another level, so to speak, or I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all good, but I don't know.
These are great questions to swirl around and go and check out. I'd much rather leave you with questions than answers.
Yes. than thinking I have the answer, right? But uh-huh. I have one other thing before you go, though. Yeah. Oh, so when we did the piece about being present with the item, and then we were talking about how we felt equal or one with it. It reminded me of when you and Jazz used to always talk about everything is one, like the energy, like we're all just one being. I started to think about that concept, and I don't know if that's a connection. Like the way I sort of felt with this object, and I'm thinking, oh, maybe that's what they mean when they say we're all one, you know? And yes, I said it with an attitude because you know how I feel about it, right?
Kumbaya.
Right? Lord.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing.
Or that's another story for another call.
Great questions. That's an amazing noticing and curiosity. Like, huh? Right? I had this experience where it felt neutrality in a unity kind of sense or way.
Yeah.
I wonder what might that be like if I kind of play with that a bit in the world or in my experience of the world, rather.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Amy, I know I had to run because of Blue, but the whole thing about the Star Trek example. So my thinking, I still don't believe you guys because I feel like every thought comes from something else. Mm-hmm. I believe you, but I need to show me the evidence, show me the articles, the books, the whatever. Because right now I still believe that any thought I've had is related to something else that gave me that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I believe you when you say it, but I still need more.
Mm-hmm.
I need more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you ever had a dream that made no sense and you have no idea what the hell was going on or who those people were?
Probably.
Kind of like that.
Kind of like that?
Ish, yeah.
Hmm. Okay, I'm going to play with that in the world too.
They continue. Thank you, Deborah. Your questions are just...
Wow. I know I'm the baby on the call, but that's all right too.
Oh, you're kidding. We're all babies. No offense, everybody. By the way, we're all babies. We're feeling around in this strange existence.
Well, I love that.
Well, yeah, because we're all one, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The beginners, we should all sit, actually. Mm-hmm. We don't.
Say that again, Amy?
Beginner's mind, or, you know.
Yeah.
The Nazarene said, you know, God does not reveal himself to the prudent and the wise, but unto babes.
Yes.
Right? So if we keep a, like, wonder, like,
childlike wonder about the world.
I think we have a better chance of direct experience that way. But I think
we're
talking about memory, that our memory, you know, what is memory? That's a whole other thing. Are we all conglomeration of our memories? And if we are, let's back off of that shit because let's get way back behind that and go, no.
I think it was a Rabbi Herschel quote that we're closer to God when we're asking the questions than when we think we have the answers.
I love him.
Yeah. Well, I'm here for takeaway round if anybody has extra time or decompression round or what the hell just happened around. But yeah, hop if you need to hop.
Hi, Ashley.
Thank you, Ash.
So lovely.
Ooh, awesome. Have fun with that cup.
What could happen?
Do you want to do quick takeaways, ladies, or do you got to hop? You need to hop, Deborah? No. Oh, I thought you said you had to leave for Blue. I don't know why.
No, I said I had to run before when I turned the camera off.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha.
I didn't want to go, but yeah.
Yeah, let's do... So takeaways. It can be a question, an insight, anything at all.
I'll go first because mine is going to be easy. I'm going to keep an open mind and ponder on quite a few things from tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I'm gonna go into the world with on the days that when I don't feel the magic as much, I want to go with magical filters and, you know, see if my day changes. Yeah. I mean, especially for what's coming this year, I definitely want that filter on, you know, magical filters.
What if it's not, and here's a little for you. What if your natural setting, what if your natural is magical?
Right. It's the other filters that I put on, like the practical one or the fear mm-hmm. one or the, yeah, you're right. Exactly. Yeah. So I just need to take them off. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or be conscious enough to think about taking them off, you know?
Right.
That's the, yeah.
Right. And the great thing is our system is so brilliantly designed that we know when we're wearing the non-magical filters. We feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like my to-do list definitely is a filter. You know, that to-do list is just like sitting on my head. It feels really heavy.
Mm-hmm. You have filters about your to-do list that make it feel heavy.
Ooh. Ooh. What? Oh, filters? That's stretching my head a little bit.
Right? That's good, though.
So the to-do list isn't the filter? That's not what is...
That's not the problem, Mia.
Because Amy's premium can, she was pissed at it, and then she was stoked about it. The can didn't change.
Right.
So it can't be the thing.
Exactly.
So I have to approach the thing with love, like
doing or just be.
Is what it is.
Well, what I if mean, there were no
goals? Yeah, just be present.
Oh my God,
be present
with all my receipts that I've had for a year that I have not filtered through the month. It's all in one file. So now I have to filter them by month, with an unfiltered consciousness. Oh my God!
I mean, given the option,
right? Yeah,
I mean, you could be in love with those receipts, right?
I'll be happy with my receipts.
Every receipt is a memory. Oh, I remember that. Oh, I remember. That's what I would do. I play games with myself when I have horrible tasks. I do the Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins is a great archetypal energy for me that got imprinted when I was a kid. Just a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine. Right. Yeah.
But really though, like what would what would the receipt process be without filters on it?
Right. You're right. That? Yeah.
It would just be find out, get back to us, right? Like it's the most liberating question, I think, in the human universe, at least.
Hmm. Well, now I'm going to be excited to deep clean that bathroom.
With joy.
Oh, and it's fun too, because we know when we know. It's like, man, I'm feeling like trust, my to-do list is still from hanging as well, Mia, right? So. But when I notice it, it's like, oh man, there's my thinking about that again. You know, like I'll be like, I'm tantruming. I'm having a little micro tantrum about this thing, and I'll catch it and I'll notice it. And I'm like, I can hold on to this hot coal, or I can drop the hot coal and do the damn thing. You know, once we see what's happening, once we see how our experience is created. We tend to not be super like prone to creating it that way if it's, you know, unsavory.
See, to me, that goes back to the joy, the highest vibration, right? Because nothing in my world would have changed or has changed. And yet I would feel this amazing peace and calmness and And yet, like, all the things are the same, right? So it's like, to me, it's that mm-hmm. same thing where how I'm coming to the table is going to impact my experience when I sit down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why I think, well, in most traditions, love, joy,
they're at the top, yeah.
Transcendence are our natural state.
Yeah.
When there's nothing else in there, that's what we tend to experience.
When we're not in that logical, practical mind, you know.
Hmm.
Oh, I got to do this. I got to do the dishes. And don't forget about the clutter and, you know, mm-hmm. all of that.
I mean, yeah, not if there's judgment sprinkled in there or, like, holding right. that down, right?
Mm-hmm. Then I get to experience the joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Amy, takeaway?
You just, when you said drop the hot coal, did you uh-huh. say bowl, hot coal?
Uh-huh.
I had an experience before I got on that was really, I have a fire going and I put the new log in and then there was this pretty shiny, like coppery thing. So I picked it up and it was like coal. It's like, ow.
Oh. Oh my God.
My brain, no.
Amy.
It was a coal, a hot coal. I'm in a fire. And I go, ooh, pretty. Where was my presence? Or maybe I just had like, maybe I was just in the moment. Like, pretty. You know, like there's things to be. I mean, it's not always great to have a not have a memory, right? Or not always have a wonder because you're going to get your fingers burned. We do build on our experience. That was a weird experience. Maybe I was dissociated. I don't know. But I really, that was strange. I really thought, oh, a pretty glowy thing.
And how interesting that I don't know, I don't use the hot coal thing very often.
Yeah, that's why I was giggling, because I was like, oh my God, what was that about?
And it's that silly, like, it's like, why would I hold on to this hot coal, like, of this filter I have about this thing, you know?
I'm so hard at myself, even though I was burning my fingers, I was like, what is wrong with you?
Oh, man, I do stuff like that all the time, I'm sure.
It's weird, but it was pretty.
Awesome. Okay. Ladies, this is so, I thank you for swimming in the philosophical seas with me.
So
been
fun.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I really appreciate your willingness to like, always, right, to try things on and explore and sincerely, like, but wait a minute, you know, that's, this is the most valuable. For me, this is the most valuable way to explore versus like turn your texts to page 25 and let's learn about the cerebellum, you know? There's so much to be discovered in the synergy of the group and, you know, the in the moment stuff.
Right? We're having an experience of it, of each other and so it's richer than.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Experiencing direct experience.
Indirectly through pixels.
Indirectly.
We're all just pixels on a screen.
That's what I'm trying. We are Star Trek and we are broken into little pieces and then we
oh my God.
A little picture here in the box.
And real, I promise.
I'm a boy.
Amazing.
How do we know? That's the thing. How do we know? How do you know I'm real? How do I know any of you are real?
Right? I met Deborah in the flesh and Amy, actually.
What's real? What is real anyway? Oh, God. Now we're going deep.
Well, that's essentially the past 2.5 hours of
that. I know. Exactly. Right? What Deborah said, you know, normal. And I was like, what's normal? That's a construct. What?
Everything's like
normal. Oh no.
Yeah. One of the things that I especially love and enjoy about these kinds of explorations is we can't access rational, logical answers the way we typically can. And so insights drop in like they did for you, Mia, and like you, Deborah, like the actual intelligence and like comes in real time based on what's happening in real time. You can't plan this, you know, like, and it creates sincere insight and sincere ways of expanding our direct experience. So yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you, ladies. All right. Let's hop. Lots of love. Thank you for playing.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
I'm in the bathroom.